Hello, it's Shahid, and welcome back to another Creative Floor Award Show podcast. Our award show final deadline is this Friday, the 12th of April. Can you believe we're nearly there? I know I can't. Anyway, best of luck to everyone who's entering this year. It's your opportunity to get your work, your people, your clients on that global international stage of excellence, or boxing ring in our case. If you would like a shout out for any open job roles or production services, or even if you're just out of work and you'd like to get into the ears of our audience, just email us at awards@thecreativefloor.com. Here's part two of my conversation with the legend that is Mark Denton. You're going to love it. Enjoy.
No, I'm glad I was ignorant in a way. You know, I was glad I was ignorant because if I'd known, this is me saying a stupid thing, but there might be a bit of truth in it. You know, you've got the old cliche, knowledge is power, but actually ignorance is power. You know, being ignorant, and I continue to be ignorant insofar as most creative pursuits that I indulge in, I know nothing about. You know, I'm busily working on launching a newspaper at the moment, and forgive the swearing, but it requires it. I know fuck all about launching a newspaper. Absolutely fuck all. To say I'm ignorant is bigging me up on that front. And if I knew anything about, I've already asked advice from my accountant. I said, I'm thinking of starting a newspaper. And his advice to me was don't. And I don't know why it makes me laugh now. I should be crying. I'm constantly doing the calculation. How much have I got in my pension? How much longer am I likely to live? I'm at the stage of life where I'm doing that calculation. Because I fully intend to die owing money. I hate the idea of dying with a pile of cash. Fortunately, I'm kind of guaranteeing that that's not going to happen. So I was ignorant. Want your own agency? Yeah, all right. Yeah. What do I sign? Yeah, sign this bit of paper, mate. That's why it made it very easy to fire me. You know, because it's the truth. It's the truth. As I see it, I think they call it my truth now. You know, that old-fashioned truth where something's actually true and something's not true. That's all out of fashion now, isn't it? You have your own truth. It's my truth. But in hindsight, but I think it's reflected in things that have happened since, and I have lived my life like this to a certain extent. I think you don't mind me being immodest, do you? You know, I could be modest, but it really doesn't make the stories half as good if I'm modest. So I won't be modest. I think I'm really, really, really useful. Really useful if you've got nothing to lose, like you're going out of business or you haven't started a business. So you've got nothing to lose to get in bed with me, because I am pretty good at creating a big ta-da. And, I'd love to think that alongside the really great partner I had in Cole Johnson, who was the account man, but he was a great partner insofar as that's not trying to diminish Chris's role, because Chris is the best creative partner I've ever had. But Cole used to just sell everything we put on paper. So if we were successful, it's as much to do with him as it was to do with us. So to big up someone who gave me the boot. But I'm really good. But once you get up and running, I get in the way. So I can see, to be fair to them, I probably would have fired me as well. Because if you apply the same uncompromising standards, we call them, that got us the fame, once you start getting some big business in, then suddenly you start jeopardizing your relationships with the big business. Because we had BT as one of our accounts. There's something to lose. And we got a big lump of the BT account. You've got something to lose. When we started the business, we had nothing to lose because we had nothing. So, you know, I understand, you know. Even more so now, I can see that I'm a little bit of how can I describe myself? I'm kind of superfluous to requirements in some advertising scenarios, because a lot of the ads that I see look like it's all a process of getting work through that causes as little ripples as possible. The thing about trying to do something exceptional is that generally becomes some part of the process where you have to put on your bayonet, fix your bayonet, and fight for something, and resist a bit. And I can see that resistance is not popular now. Again, you know, it's funny seeing these phrases bandied about, like, what do they like? I went to Creative Circle a couple of years ago, and all the talks were meant to be based around pirates and... It wasn't renegades. It's pirates and someone who's a bit piratey. What do they call it? It wasn't maverick. It was, what do they like calling people now? Disruptors. Oh, that's a good one. Yeah, they like people talk about disruption all the time. And yet most of the communication, we call it, that comes out of communications agencies, we call them, they don't look like they can disrupt a wet paper bag. So I don't get that at all. As soon as any sort of sign of disruption anywhere, they chuck the contents of a fire bucket on it, is the way it looks to me from where I'm sitting. Now, maybe I'm just sitting in the wrong seat. I don't know. You know, I could see, you know, I see so many posts on LinkedIn and, yeah, because I like social media. I'm modern. I really like social media and I do very actively engage in it. But when people are talking about brave this, brave that, brave the other, I'm thinking, are you looking at two different things here, mate? I don't get it. Where's the brave? Yeah, see, unfortunately, the flip side of brave is stupid. Maybe I'm not brave. Maybe I'm just stupid. I don't think that's, you know, stupidity and ignorance, I think, are very underrated assets.
But they're sort of like childlike qualities, aren't they? And we are, I guess we're all at our most creative when we're children.
Look, absolutely. You know, there's far too many... it seems like there's far too many brainy people in advertising trying to look brainy.
Are they brainy or are they just bullshitters?
Oh, yeah, they're bullshitters. they're trying to justify positions by making things look complicated. And really, the best things look simple. I don't mean to say they're easy to come up. You know, great ideas are not easy to come up with.
Yeah.
But they just look like they are. 9 times out of 10, you know, and again, that's why that's a cliche. Why didn't I think of that? Anyone could have thought of that. You know, that's so fucking obvious, but sometimes that's the best, you know, most of the time, that's the best stuff.
Thank you to the sponsor of this podcast, Boom CGI. They're a team of digital artists specializing in the craft of CGI animation across entertainment, advertising, and of course, pharma. The team love nothing more than taking ideas from concept through to completion. They are highly skilled in delivering character design, CGI modeling, texturing, animation, and post-production, and are huge, huge supporters of the Creative Floor Awards. So do check them out at boomcgi.com.
Second shout out is for our working from home candles. The final batch are here. Only 100 of each scent have been made in the world, never to be repeated again. All are handmade, hand-pulled, hand-signed. All profits go towards our talent diversity fund, whether it's our pitch win scent, our out-of-office scent, the all-nighter scent, or even sans bullshit scent. They will help you thrive the 9 to 5, exclusively available on thecreativefloor.com/awards. If you would like a shout out for any open roles in your agency, even if you're out of work and you're looking to get into the ears of somebody who might be able to give you a job, just get in touch with us and we'll happily share your shout out on the next podcast. So you had a relatively short career before you went and did your own thing, right? What were the sort of things that you learned from people like Tony Kaye and John Hegarty? Because clearly I think your surroundings are kind of make you who you are, right? So if you're around mavericks and you're around troublemakers and, you know, all that sort of stuff, you're going to feed off of that, I guess, right? So what sort of things were feeding you that made you kind of do what you did?
Bloody hard question, that one. Hard question, because, you know, obviously I learned loads working at BBH and seeing the likes of John Hegarty in action and being fearful for most of the time I was there. But at the same time, it was exhilarating. And but there was an agreement over there. You know, it's like it wasn't, you know, John Hegarty's, from I imagine, from a client point of view, is not someone that you'd call a disruptor, insofar as he's such a charming, eloquent, classy communicator. That, you know, he knows how to sell. So knowing how to sell is not squaring up against a client and having a fight. It's enrolling them to buy a challenging bit of work. It's a very popular term nowadays, challenging. So, see, I was a junior creative, so I wasn't invited into a lot of client meetings. But, you know, you've got to... I'd like to think that I'm quite diplomatic as well. And, if I try to disarm people or get them on my side, I try to do it as much as possible with a bit of wit. I don't, you know, no one gets anywhere by putting boxing gloves on. Nobody, you know, nobody. But I think that's the big, you know, that's the big difference. Is I'm not saying that the salespeople are not there now. I'm not saying that they don't. It's like the creatives I went down the pub with every, you know, recently in the internships that I did, were every bit as creative as we used to be. You know, I'm not saying we were any better from a creative point of view, but it you know, they're concentrating their skills on their hobbies. You know, what's the phrase again? What do they use? What is the side hustles? Yeah, that's where they're exercising their creative muscles on the side hustles, and they're doing what is required. This is a massive generalisation because it's not true. There's good work coming out now, but there's not as big a proportion as good work, and the good work is not as good as the very best work that used to come out. See, Leo Burnett, when I was there, was a very unfashionable agency. It was not a big award-winning agency. They had one account where they used to win awards regularly. That was Perrier. Outside of that, a lot of the work was seen as a bit low rent. But the low rent work that they did, you know, from an awards point of view, the low rent work that they did, they had a lot of cabaret work. So they did things like Holnut, Nuts Whole Hazelnuts. They did the Milk Tray Man. They did the Cadbury's Caramel Bunny Rabbit, Sexy Bunny Rabbit. So they did loads of stuff like that that was enormously popular with the punters. So I remember the kids at school coming in and singing the Nuts Whole Hazelnuts jingle the day after a new ad came out. You know, and that's where advertising, you know, I don't know why I'm saying this stuff because you didn't ask me this, but that's where advertising is kind of different now insofar as people go out of their way to avoid advertising insofar as they used to like, you know, they used to like it in the old days. The very best stuff they used to like, talk about, and I'd like to believe act on, i.e. go out and buy a bar of Whole Nut after you've seen the Whole Nut ad. Or Curly Whirly or whatever. My old boss Norm did most of those. The Flake Girl did most of those, and the punters liked them. And now you take the most of the stuff that comes out of the awards, winning gongs and the like, and the punters don't give a monkeys. It's like most advertising feels like it's done for other people in advertising now. With exceptions, because, you know, every now and then you get a phenomenon like John Lewis and the punters suddenly love the John Lewis campaign when it was at its height. So, you know, it still happens occasionally, but not half as much as it used to. And, you know, even what were deemed to be style-led agencies like BBH when I was there, they were still capable of doing something that had all of the required style, like Levi's from Laundrette onwards, that the punters loved Laundrette. And it sold tons of, changed the jeans market completely. You know, so they were still capable of doing both, something that was amazingly stylish, can obviously appeal to the juries and the punters alike. So, yeah, disruption, not a lot of it going on now.
How would you fix it all?
That's a bloody hard question. How would you fix it all? I'll tell you what, I've only got one idea now, and I haven't got that many ideas anyway. Not trying to knock myself, but there ain't a lot of ideas. It's all, you know, I've got to a stage where, oh, is that one again? You know, I've been doing it so long now that, I remember doing an ad at Leo Burnett that was a layout for a small space black and white ad that I had to draw, but I couldn't help myself because that's the way I am. I drew it up as a storyboard. And I've seen that idea, that same idea, and I talked a producer into getting a new director to shoot it, and it won loads of awards. This was all from a black and white press ad. That was never meant to be anything but a black and white press ad. And it turned into a 60-second commercial that won loads of awards worldwide. I've seen that ad in 3 or 4 different iterations for different products. I've been doing it that long that I keep seeing the same ideas come round. So there ain't a lot of ideas. I ain't got a lot of ideas. My best one is lead by example. So, and that's one of the reasons I'm doing the newspaper. I think the way advertising is now, this is how it occurs to me, is that there's a lot of people being shortchanged. I feel sorry for the clients. Why haven't they got the campaigns that the punters are going to love and act on and go out and buy whatever product you're selling or whatever service you're selling? Why do the punters try to avoid ads now? And so clients are being shortchanged. Creatives are being shortchanged insofar as they're not being challenged to do the very best they can. A lot of the time they're being challenged to I'm trying to be diplomatic here. That's why the long pauses is not because I'm totally inarticulate. It's because I'm trying to be diplomatic.
Yeah, no, I get it.
And I'm not trying to be diplomatic to be safe. I think there's a lot of injured parties out there that I want to be sensitive to. Clients, you're not getting work that you deserve. You're not getting work that's good enough for you. Creatives, it's not because you're not creative. I think creatives are every bit as creative. The ones I meet are every bit as sharp as we used to be. But there's something in the process that is stopping creative people and planners and everyone who's part of the process to be as good as they possibly can be. And clients are losing out. Do they know they're losing out? See, some of them are so young, they've never seen an age that where the consumer used to actually like the advertising. They've never witnessed it. And that's just bonk, you know. So a lot of my reference points are just not valid anymore because people scratch their heads. You mean that people actually went to the door and shouted, quick, that ad's on again. And you'd run down. I remember my mum used to do that. The ad with the monkeys is on again. And you'd run down in your pajamas. You'd already gone to bed. Run downstairs. There's the PG Tips ad. I'm drinking a cup of tea now. Guess what brand? PG Tips. And there's clients that have never seen that. You know, I remember doing a poster over at our agency, actually. I remember doing a poster and I was listening to the radio, Capital Radio, and the DJ came on and said, I just seen the funniest poster driving in. And he described our poster on the radio. And, you know, that happened 35 years ago, whenever it was. I can't bloody remember. It was a long time ago. Last century sometime. How often does that happen now? I really am on the tube every day because guess what? I like coming into work every day. You know, we've got an office in Covent Garden. I come in every day. And 2 days a week, I'm the only one here. There's no one else, but I'm on the tube and it's interesting those days because there's not so many people on the tube and I'll wander through the tube like it's a Sunday. And if there ain't a train there, I look at all the posters. 50% of them I don't understand. I stare at them and I can't understand what they're selling. The other 50% of them, I wouldn't put them in my portfolio. And is a controversial thing to say, but it's the truth because it is the truth. I look at them and think everyone who's any part of the process that's produced that poster is earning more than me now. And I don't get it. I don't get it. And I don't get it. And I'll never get it. And the client has got a poster that someone who's actually interested in advertising, that's me, he's looking at their poster and he can't work out what it's for. Don't make any sense. And it don't happen with every poster, obviously. But it happens with a lot of them every day. And given that punters are not interested in advertising, they're on the tube, they're trying to get to work as quickly as possible and get home as quickly as possible and not come in the next day if that is available to them. So they're not staring at stuff like I am, an interested party, but not because I'm mesmerized by the great work in front of me. It's because I'm genuinely puzzled how the fuck they got it through in what was probably loads of meetings in a closed room on a Zoom call with 20 people around the table and another 10 on various continents on the big screen. don't get it. So if we're talking about let's have some crazy stories from the olden days of advertising, is the truth it's never been crazier. You know, we talk about madmen. There's never been so much madness in the world of advertising as there is now. It's bonkers. It's loony beyond words. I'm lost for words. It's absolutely bonkers. Isn't it? Is it me who's mad? I don't know.
No, it's not.
I can't get, you know, outside, you know, believe it or not, despite my acquired media accent, I'm quite common. Still know lots of common people. I talk to common people all the time, and they've got nothing to do with advertising. And because I like a chat, and occasionally when I'm not, you know, when it's too early to use my old person's rail card, my freedom pass, I'll get in a black cab, and I like chatting to the cabbies. And I start talking to the cabbie, and 9 times out of 10, they say, yeah, what do you do for a living? And I used to say, oh, I'm in advertising, because they used to say, oh, bloody hell, I like that one with the bouncing bomb or the drumming monkey. I like that one. You know. But now they want to go, if I say I'm in advertising, they want to go out of their way to tell me what's wrong with adverts. Because they're not bloody stupid. They can see all the boxes being ticked. Fast forward through the ads, like everyone does when we're talking about commercials. No one talks about posters. And they want to tell me where I'm going wrong, being in advertising, like it's my fault. So now I tell them I'm an estate agent just to make myself look more popular.
Nice.
It's the truth.
Yeah.
You know, people singled me out, but I remember going to a party the other day. My missus's family, I think it was her second cousin, I say, it was a mechanic, nothing to do with advertising, mechanic. And he comes over, he pins me to the wall, he starts prodding me, you're in advertising. He started telling me what's wrong with it. It's not my fault, mate, I don't do them all.
We have to sell houses now.
Yeah. Well, but let's talk about semi-detached houses. Yeah, instead, less controversial, or politics. Yeah, much less controversial and more Brexit. Popular. Yeah. Now, what we're going to do about it? I'm starting a newspaper. It's only going to have good advertising in it. It's going to big up the creative stuff. See, because yeah, it is another moan. So you want to talk to me about the crazy world of advertising from the past, but I want to talk about the crazy world of advertising now. Never been crazier. I go on LinkedIn. I see people with arms full of awards. You know, that's me being immodest again. When I was a creative, stock press, I was quite good. And it took me 10 years to win a pencil. To get my first pencil, 10 years. Now you see people with armfuls of pencils. And I'm sitting there thinking, well, first of all, no, everyone's having a chit-chat. No one's interested in anyone else winning an award, unless it's them. Unless it's their work, they're not interested. So no one claps, looks at the commercials when they're shown, or takes a blind bit of notice on anything. They're just chatting away until it's their turn to go up with their football team and pick an armful of awards up. It's, you know, One of the partners that fired me from my own agency after I personally won more awards than anyone else in Europe. I couldn't have done it without Carl Johnson or Simon Clemo, who's the best planner I ever worked with. I couldn't have done it. You know, that's how much I valued our team. They were absolutely, you know, me and Chris wouldn't have got half as far if it wasn't for them. So hats off to them. They were very accommodating on helping us in the process of getting great work through. So teams, get it? Everyone's important. And in fact, really great salesperson. Wow, what a skill. What a skill. Probably more important than anyone else in the team. But when you give everyone an award and you don't credit them, then my favourite line from one of my favourite films, The Incredibles, is when Syndrome is talking. I don't know if you've seen The Incredibles. It's a great film. And Syndrome says, because he invents all of these gadgets that will give people, ordinary people, superpowers. And his line is, and when everyone's super, no one will be. And it's the truth. Everyone gets an award now. Everyone, you go on LinkedIn, everyone's an award-winning copywriter or art director. Everyone. Because there's no one's allowed to be a superstar anymore. And they don't get paid as much money as they used to. And they don't get credited like they used to. And they don't, you know, if there was a front of campaign, they don't get bigged up like they used to. And I love creative people. You know, and, you know, I'm going on a rant here, but I'm thinking it's great. This new diverse world we live in, fantastic. Really fantastic. Believe it or not, there was a revolution when just before I started where they started recruiting creatives from art colleges, and then suddenly you had people from a different social strata came in, and that's when the advertising really was at its best. But now, great. Diversity, great. But what I really feel for everyone coming into the business now, creatives especially, and I think, great, you've got these people, how you've tempted, you know, because I talk to a lot of students, and I say, you want to go into advertising, why? Because, you know, when I was a kid, my mum used to laugh at the adverts. And I used to like making my mum laugh. So getting a job making adverts that might possibly make my mum laugh one day, there's an incentive there. Now, because everyone wants to tell you what's wrong with advertising, especially if you're creative, you know, if you're really creative, don't you want to go and work on a computer game or a pop promo or some Netflix series or, you know, something a bit more exciting than this stuff that everyone fast forwards or walks past or ignores online and doesn't press on any buttons or click or whatever that you do nowadays. So I can't see what the incentive is for anyone getting into advertising. But once they're in, our new diverse bunch, great. Poor buggers. They're not getting credited or paid like they used to be. So they can't be the superstars like you used to be able to be. You can't earn a bloody good wage because you're clever and creative and you're shifting graphs for clients. You're that clever that you're affecting big business. You're that clever. So, but you're not, you get to your late 30s and you have to start looking over your shoulder because you think, oh, I'm earning a half decent wage now. One bit of business is lost, and however many awards an agency's got for being a great place to work, you're the first one out. And then you're in an army of freelancers. You know, all you've got to do is look in LinkedIn, see how many freelancers are. There's untold numbers of people that are available because they're no longer employable by an agency because they know too much. And this is, you know, this is the truth. I've got 47 years experience. I'd be the last person any agency would take on as a creative. It's kind of like the more experience you've got, the less value you've got. That's how mad the industry is. It's, you know, I'm not, you know, it's the circle of life. I'm not moaning about that. You know, to me, I see, because, you know, I'm way past, you know, proper retirement age. What the? Why am I still lurking about? I like advertising. I like commercial art. I think having a blank sheet of paper is the most exciting creative project that anyone could give you. It's a puzzle. It's a fantastic puzzle. And I think, well, if I'm any good, I will stay alive within the business, despite the fact that it's a lot harder for me now. There's absolutely no doubt about it. You know, it feels like a world where what used to be black is white and what is up is down. It is Stranger Things. It's the upside down world, or whatever they call it. It really is. And I've got to navigate that. There's part of me that finds it frustrating. If it sounds like a moan now, it's only an observation from an old git's point of view, which, you know, just might not, you know, someone who's 30 or 40 years younger than me might not be understand where the fuck is he coming from. I don't get it. I don't, you know, maybe they can't see what I can see somehow. But it just, it feels like a bonkers world that I would love to affect some kind of change in. Not to, because you asked me about an hour ago, you asked me, what would I do to change it?
Thank you so much for listening to this episode. I promise you, you will want to hear Mark's conclusion to how he would make things better across the industry in our concluding part of Mother Punter. Please hit subscribe wherever you listen to your podcast to make sure that you don't miss it as soon as it drops. Until next time.